Hey, y'all, how are we doing? Shout out to Bear Nation for tuning in for another episode of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship, a podcast for the entrepreneur-minded, created by entrepreneurs, discussing the real stories that give you the tools to overcome challenges and stay true to your real self. As always, I want to give a shout out to our partners over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. We've teamed up with Finn to give back to the communities that we serve. For every episode, we will be donating $10 to the cause of choosing by our guest in the Finn platform. Enjoy today's episode. How we doing, Bear Nation? We are back again for another episode of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship podcast. I'm your host, Rob Napoli, and I am joined today from an amazing human, the founder and CEO of a company called My Tribe Wellness, Shashika Edwards. She is a woman of many talents and interests and is inspired to create positive change into the world and dissolving the barriers to do that. And she is on a journey to make health and wellness accessible for everyone and have fun on the journey to do it. And while she's an amazing founder and entrepreneur, she is also kind of a badass as a head of supply chain for a large corporate and really going to be excited to talk to her about how she handles both worlds. So Shashika, say hello to Bear Nation for me.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here today.
We are excited for this conversation. One of the things that I was intrigued. So for context for my listeners out there, I have been doing some work with My Tribe as an advisor for about almost a year, just under a year now. Really looking at the business and strategy. And one of the things that was really interesting when I met Shashika was really why she wanted to become an entrepreneur, but also how she's balancing both these roles, which is just absolutely crazy when you think about it. So why don't you start off by giving a little bit of background on yourself, and then kind of why you wanted to be an entrepreneur and what kind of led you to starting My Tribe Wellness?
Absolutely. I think my journey is probably not typical. I think a lot of people, you know, start off their career going, I want to start my own business. I didn't really do that. It wasn't until I did my MBA and I had this brilliant idea that, you know, when I had my first daughter while I was on maternity leave, I could easily do a master's. That's how I got inspired to start my own business by doing an entrepreneurship course in the middle of it. I thought, well, I really want to do something that is beyond my corporate role. I love what I do, but I really want to create something that makes a difference. When I had my second daughter, I had this idea because she had some health issues that we couldn't quite resolve. And I started kind of leaning into my network and I realized, you know, this is kind of the idea. This is what the problem is. It's really hard to navigate through things, to be able to find, you know, what are the therapies, what's out there, how can you access them if you don't have that network, which I always kind of did. And so that's what I started to do. So when my youngest daughter was about 3 months, I joined an accelerator and incubator program and started doing this because apparently my first mat leave was not exciting enough. I decided to do it again. That's how I kind of focused and originally started to found the program and the business through that. So it was a bit of an unconventional start, but what I will say is I did it with absolute passion in terms of, you know, you got to when you are not sleeping and you have, you know, two jobs already on the go, you have to be truly inspired to go through it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And you know, we love nonlinear career paths or nonlinear journeys here on the Bear Necessities because, you know, I think it's really important to show and share that the entrepreneurial journey is one that is whatever you want it to be. And that idea of starting your own company can come from anywhere and everywhere and different things. And usually from a place of passion, right? There was a specific problem that kind of came up with one of your daughters. And so being able to look at that and say, in order to solve this problem, we had to go into my network. Well, how do I make that network accessible? And therefore, while maternity leave, getting a master's program, starting a business, having a full-time job, having a second child, all this was kind of happening. And so when you look at the fact that you do have a corporate role and you love that side of your business, but also being an entrepreneur, how do you go about juggling kind of both sides of that coin while also, you know, being a mother and having all these things? What is it that makes it work for you on your entrepreneurial journey today?
I think I first think about why I did it. Like, I love what I do. And I don't think work should ever really feel like a bad four-letter word. Like, it's fun for me mm-hmm. to do both sides of it. I really enjoy my job, like from a corporate perspective. And so when I switch off at the end of the day, that I have, you know, family time, girl time, kids to bed, and then I actually start working on my tribe. And so that's mm-hmm. what I kind of do in the evening. Most nights when the kids are in bed, I'm writing content, whether it's for social media, I'm working on strategy decks, but it's fun. I don't feel like I'm working. I just feel like I get to do fun with different types of things and kind of exercise a bit of my creativity in other areas.
I love that. And I think that's really cool, right? You know, it's really important for us to not think about work as a bad thing. Work is something that is very, I mean, it can be for many, but for us and when you're out there listening, you should be finding things that are really passionate and driving forward and exciting. And so that's really cool to hear that not only are you excited about what you do day to day, you're excited about what you do after family time and getting to flex those creativity muscles. And you know, I think one of the questions I have is, what do you think your corporate experience that you're still doing today, how do you think that translates and helps you as a founder entrepreneur of your current business and driving that from early stage through growth?
It's funny, actually, I think both kind of help each other. So mm-hmm. I think from my corporate experience, you know, obviously I have a good understanding of P&L growth strategies, you know, how to make sure you have a very structured approach to things in terms of how you develop and grow a business, how you effectively implement, how you do multi-year roadmaps, mm-hmm. And, you know, consistently achieve against them and excel. I think what I found interesting was the other way around, because it's easy to kind of see how it benefits into your business, but you start to become just naturally more creative in how you solve your problems and think mm-hmm. in a non-linear way. And so it's kind of interesting to see the more and more I've been working on my tribe, the more creative I get in my corporate role as well. And it's kind of that balance of, you know, you don't become two different personalities, both kind of get enhanced.
That's awesome. And I think there is a bit of a stigma that's like corporate or startup. And, you know, there's been shown where sometimes like corporate way of thinking doesn't always work in a startup and vice versa. But when done right, and you're actually leveraging the benefits of both, you're able to really develop skills that intertwine and help you in both assets of the jobs, right? In both your, you know, corporate setting and the entrepreneurial setting. And I think that's really cool. I think that being able to blend that is super intriguing. And now I know My Tribe, you're not doing it all by yourself, that you have a team. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what My Tribe Wellness is from an actual platform perspective?
So right now it's a virtual marketplace, and it gives access to talented wellness practitioners, reviewed, rated, integrated booking system, and we really want to evolve it, mm-hmm. you know, as we grow the business to incorporate AI in terms of how we can be able to do more predictive health in as part of the service offering. So it becomes more of a 360 tool. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, that's kind of one example. We have lots of kind of strategy ideas for growth and development from that perspective in terms of what it can do. But I think the main thing is, if you look at any of our social media, we try to educate people in a very fun way. Mm-hmm. I think early on, we tried to do what maybe a lot of media channels will tell you you need to do on your social media.
Yeah.
And about 6 months ago, we just ripped that up because, frankly, it wasn't fun and it didn't feel like our brand. And so now we kind of have a much more lighthearted way to communicate. And I think people get the message, but they don't really mm-hmm. feel like they're being lectured on it, which,
yeah.
Who wants to be? So it stays a little bit true to our personalities. And so it's great. I have an amazing team, a CTO, a CEO, and we have somebody else, Bessiano, who's kind of full-time day-to-day on the business as well. So it's great to work with, really smart, talented, capable people that all want the same thing mm-hmm. and that are just rooting for the business to do well because they believe in what it can do and what it can achieve.
Yeah. I love that. We talk about, social, and there's, plenty of playbooks out there. And one of the things that, I talk a lot about on the show is authenticity and intentionality. And it's one of the things that y'all did with my tribe was, it's kind of like, let's rip up the playbook. This isn't fun for us. Let's create content that's fun. You got to meet your customers where they're at. And when it comes to health and wellness, across different therapies, right? There's different modalities and therapies and specializations out there that are part of the platform. Some of it could be a little bit taboo. You don't know what you don't know. And you don't want to feel like a bunch of medical jargon to make you feel like overwhelmed versus how do you do it in a lighthearted way that's like, hey, these are things that you may be experiencing or can learn, or maybe you want to connect with somebody to explore deeper in a way that actually makes sense. And from people who treat you kind of like a human. And I think that is one thing that really has impressed me and has been fun to kind of, look at that strategy with y'all and talk about it. So we were talking pre-show and that just kind of fun way of going about. So the business right now, you're operating in the UK currently. What do you see? You talked about AI, predictive health and wellness. What do you see are kind of your goals as we look at the second half of 2021? Is that expansion? Is that continuing to develop the UK market? What are some of the goals that you're looking to do with the business in the next half of this year?
I think, certainly longer term, I'm originally from Canada, and I think, the North American market is definitely one that we will focus on. Mm-hmm. Being based in the UK, that's kind of why we started here in London. That being said, my team's also in North America, so mm-hmm. it was probably, a strategic choice on that part. In terms of what we want to accomplish, when I think about kind of the bottom half of this year and into next year, I think it's thinking about more strategic relationships that we want to start to forge. So mm-hmm. We've continued to kind of self-fund the business today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been kind of a personal choice to make sure we have control from a creativity perspective on yeah. what we want to develop for the product. Mm-hmm. And we're at that point where we need to think strategically of where it makes sense to develop the right partnerships and alliances. And, it's not about getting funding. It's about meeting people that along the journey that have common vision, goals, and a true passion to help people, because that's really what we want to do.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really cool to think about. How do we scale this and what are the things that you want to accomplish, today, tomorrow, in the future? And one of the things that I find really intriguing as we were talking a little bit pre-show, and I've talked about the past, is you have the two sides of your life. You've got the corporate and then the startup, and you're one of those founders that eventually, right now you're the founder and CEO leading a lot of strategy. At some point, eventually maybe taking more of a backseat supporting role as the founder. Tell me a little bit about your vision for your role within the company and a little bit of why you see that as your fitting point moving forward. I guess not moving forward, but at a certain strategic time that this is going to happen.
I think it's important when you whether it is starting your business or anything you do, you think about things without ego. It's not about, I created it, I want it to be really good, I want to be the CEO. It's, I want this to be successful because it's the right thing to do, and you need the right people with the right experience in order to do it. I came up with the idea, got to the point of developing it, launching it with kind of support and network to do that. And I think it just, you know, it's a combination of, I love what I do and I love being involved in it. And you want to make sure you bring in that pinch hitter that really knows what they're doing to knock it out of the park. Because, you know, I think that's kind of what it takes to launch it to the next level. And it's not necessarily having a personal attachment to the company and the product. It's really about, you want to do everything you can to get it to the next level.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really intriguing, because you made a great point about putting your ego to the side. And a lot of folks, when they think about being an entrepreneur, it's sometimes thinking about, I want to be the CEO, I want to run my own business, I want to run my own company. And there's this other side of entrepreneurship where amazing people see problems that they want to fix, and they launch a solution to fix that. And sometimes they understand that I may not be the right person to run this day to day, or I may not want to run this day to day. I want to start this thing. I want this good impact to happen, but there's somebody better suited to run this on a day to day. And I think that's really something that seems a little taboo, that no one wants to talk about. And like, that's a bad thing. When I think that's something to be celebrated, because sometimes amazing founders, they're the right person to start a company, but they may not be the right person to scale it. Ben Horowitz wrote a book called The Hard Thing About Hard Things. And some of that is the people and those in your organization that help take you from zero to one may not be the same people that go 1 to 10 or 10 to 20. And that may change. And that also starts with, you know, the leader of the company, and that attitude, that vision, I think is true leadership. Knowing who to bring in, when to bring them in, what roles to strategically place them into. And that's just something we don't talk about in entrepreneurship. And I love that. And I think it's a great point, and something that should be celebrated from the standpoint of putting ego aside and making an impact. So that being said, what is the ultimate impact of the company that you want to be felt as it continues to grow and scale?
I feel like there's so much information about health and wellness out in the market, and it makes it feel almost unattainable at times. Like you're trying to get to this utopia, and it's a lot to, it's almost too much information. And so what we want to do is demystify that for everyone and just make it accessible. Like, health and wellness should be accessible, should be easy, should be fun, should be part of your lifestyle, of everything that you do every day. And I have to say, for me, it's not something that I was kind of taught from a young age, that that was kind of the routine of how you live your life. And it's habits that I had to learn. And the best way for me to learn them was to make it into a habit and into a routine and into part of my personal operating rhythm. And that's really what we try to do, you know, whether it's through the practitioners, it's through the resources, it's through the tools. How do you just kind of make this be part of who you are instead of the next goal?
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you said that, because, you know, there's a lot of information out there. And, you know, some CEOs like, oh, in order to be a successful CEO, you have to meditate, or you have to work out, or get up at 4 a.m. And while that works for some, that I don't think that works for everybody. And we try to put everything in a clearly defined box of, like, this is what success looks like. And I think everyone has to understand that success looks different based on who you are and your rhythm and your own journey of health and wellness, whether that's being somebody who needs meditation, or that's being somebody who needs to work out, whether that's being somebody who needs to, you know, go through spiritual healing or practices Reiki, or who needs to have a therapist just to speak through and into existence some of the things they're working through their head, so they can kind of shed that off them to keep moving forward. And success doesn't have to look like one thing. I mean, we can define it and we can model it after different things, but it's really important. And sometimes the way I look at it, at least for me in my own entrepreneurial journey, is I'm having to unlearn some habits that I was told, this is how you become successful, and be like, this is also why you burned out twice in your life. This is why you've gone through different, bouts of anxiety. And it's okay to have a day where you're just like, you know what? I don't got it. Fuck it. I need to take the day off. I need a mental health day. And you put your out of office on. And yes, that has negative net effect at times, but sometimes the long-term effect of you needing to do that, you just need to do that. You can't be on 24/7, 365. And, you know, I'm sitting across from you on this call and, you're working two jobs, head of supply for a large corporate, you're running a business, you're a mother, you have all these things that you have responsibility for. And it's really easy to be like, oh, shit, when do you have time to breathe? Right. And you just explain, my time to breathe is when I'm working on this business. It gives me a chance to flex my creativity muscles, do and learn new things. And that translates into the way I go to work every day, and it translates with the way I, spend time with my family. And so I think it's really amazing that you're not trying to put things in boxes and really trying to demystify this concept of what health and wellness is. So from the platform perspective, what are the modalities right now? What are some of the modalities that are on the platform, the healers that people can connect with when they go to My Tribe?
Well, it's not surprising with, the last year and a half of pandemic health, mental health and wellness is probably a key focus. So the practitioners use mainly mainstream as well as kind of alternate therapies of different types of mental wellness. So whether it's Reiki, energy cleansing, we have psychotherapists, hypnotherapists. So it's psychologists, it would kind of be kind of a broad spectrum. The vision, I think, is at some point to have obviously a full spectrum of services and modalities. But I think it is very telling in this day and age that there are so many people that are dedicated to helping mental health and wellness. And I'm very thankful that we have that on the platform, because that is something that people are just kind of reaching out for right now, whether it's just to have a connection with people or to try to reintegrate after a year and a half of being bunkered up. But that's kind of where our main focus is right now.
Yeah. You know, I think what's also interesting is we've seen mental health and wellness become at the forefront, not just in because of the pandemic, but also from a sporting world. When we look at the Olympics with Simone Biles, when we look at was the French Open with Naomi Osaka, that this is bigger than just like the pandemic. This is like everything we do. This is life. And I think as we come into this more global world of online connections and Zoom calls and, remote work and the future of work that we now see post pandemic, we need connection. We need opportunities to have cleansing and even therapy. And I think that opportunity, plus the fact that we have digital natives entering the society with millennials, but then even more so Gen Z, the way they consume content, the way they find, the way they create community is such a different way than old school going to a doctor's office, right? And being prescribed just another pill. So I really think this is cool where it's going in this virtual platform. So you talk about the content side of things, and this you ripped up this playbook to have some fun. And there's a series that you've put together called Bobo and the Chic. Tell me a little bit about where this came out of and how this kind of took off into something that, wasn't just like a one-time thing that's become its own mini series as part of the My Tribe, I guess I would say education method.
It started off where we really wanted to convey a little bit of the brand. And so I think this goes back to people telling you as a recipe, if you're going to do a startup, you have to be 100% dedicated. Don't do anything else. Follow this formula of the content. This is how you post. These are the channels you go through. And do lots of lives because that's what a founder should do. They should do lots of Facebook lives and lots of engagements. It just didn't feel natural. It didn't feel like me, all of it. And so when I started to think about, how would I convey something? And typically when I talk to my friends, my kids, there's usually a bit of humor in how I'll try to convey a point, because I try not to be terribly serious about it, because it's about getting to the goal, not trying to bore people through it. So I was trying to think of characters, and it started probably sketching on the back of a napkin and showing it to, just taking a picture of it, send it to my, to one of my coworkers and said, okay, do you think you can make this into a cartoon? And it was Bobo, which is just a little body. And then Sheik was a brain. And so it was kind of looking at the duality of the mind body kind of complex of how do you, you know, try to resolve that? And it's an internal struggle we kind of deal with every day. And so we've developed a bit of character and personality with each of them. But, you know, it's kind of like the Homer Simpson analogy. Super cute when you look at Homer Simpson as a cartoon. If it was a real person, probably not so cute. and that's kind of how it is with Bobo and Sheik. They can kind of get away with saying most things to people. And they think it's hilarious. Probably not if they were standing in front of you and saying it to your face. And that's kind of like the balance of the humor. And so I've kind of just had a lot of fun writing it. So whenever I think of a joke, I put it in my notes, and that's how the content kind of gets created every week. And so, yeah, I kind of was worried that we'd run out of content. And I think now we realize we don't have that problem at all. If anything, we're probably good until next year.
Yeah. You know, I think what's interesting about this is that education, we talk about some of the mission that of demystifying health and wellness and educating. And when you think of building a business, you have to meet your customers where they are. You have to bring down this path of enlightenment. You have to teach them without feeling like you're just like talking down to them. You're talking at them. And, you know, the Bobo and the Sheik cartoon as a little mini series is a way to really demystify and educate in a very fun, easily consumed type of content that, you know, really resonates and it's kind of insightful and also provides a little bit of laughter, which laughter is such a big thing that we all need, right? To have a little chuckle and release those endorphins. And I'm really excited as there's a new character that was introduced in Bobo and Sheik, played by yours truly in the bear, which is going to be fun to see how that plays out. But, you know, I was really excited about how this content was landing and actually surprised at how it turned into something so much bigger. And for anyone out there listening, one of the things is, why not test them? If you have an idea about something that you think could land or you think would be good to incorporate, even though conventional wisdom may say don't do it, try it anyways. See how it lands with your audience, with your customers. You're trying to attract those that, you know, want to be a part of this community and a part of this healing process and company. And you got to test it. When you test things that work, you know, sometimes it might be unconventional, but it breaks the pattern of disruption, right? And connects in an authentic way. It's all about being authentic. That's one of the things that I know you've talked about is how do we create a community around authenticity and community around health and wellness in a very positive, impactful way. So I think that to me is fun and throws out there. You'll definitely have to check out Bobo and the Sheik and stay tuned for a few cameos by yours truly voicing the bear. So when you think about the journey for you and, you know, for you, it's about moving and growing the current community, potentially looking at ways to scale it faster, bringing in some strategic key hires. What does that mean for you? What are your personal aspirations and goals, Shashika, for yourself in your entrepreneurial journey? Do you think that there's more future entrepreneurial endeavors down the road? Is it really supporting this? What is that what does entrepreneurship look like for you as you think about 2022 and beyond?
I think for me, going through this journey, the first thing I found really interesting was some of the statistics behind it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like everything else. If I'd known when I started, I probably would have been a bit more apprehensive. But, you know, if you look at the success rates for women or, you know, minorities or the combination of, you don't really hear a lot of that. And when you do, it's the exception. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like less than 2% of the businesses that get funding that have growth opportunities. And so when I think about that, I and think about my own entrepreneurial journey, think I'm quite fortunate that I've had a corporate career. I have a good network. I really want to make it more accessible for people. Like, I would like to be able to connect with those entrepreneurs out there and be able to pave those opportunities for them. I have no, you know, shortage of ideas. So I'm sure I will, you know, be helping the journey along with more endeavors. But I would like to be able to kind of change the dial and be able to move it from where it is now and where it could be. So it's not a big story when something like that happens. So if my tribe, you know, grows, becomes super successful, it's not like, wow, how did you do that? It's like, well, of course you did. Of course it's possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one thing, whether it's in my corporate or my, you know, startup career, I've been able to kind of see as a pattern, something that I'd want to kind of change and, mm-hmm. you know, be able to make it more accessible for people.
I love that. And I think that's a really great goal to have. And that when you think about that from your journey and making that more accessible and your story, and is that you can help others get there. And whether that's through other companies, other ideas that other people take and move forward, to also helping teach, coach, train in different ways of showing how it can be done. And that was one of the things that always inspired me, is that, you know, you could be an entrepreneur and have two different sides of a coin and being doing different things. You don't have to, you know, have that, oh, I'm a hustler, I'm going to spend, you know, 24/7, 365 to be an entrepreneur and start a business. There's other avenues and ways that you can do that. When you start thinking about what it is you want to create, why you want to create it, and who needs to be involved to make that happen. And you're such a testament to that. And I think about the future of entrepreneurship, understanding that there's, I say this all the time, every journey is impressive because it's yours. And we need to stop trying to define everything into a box. And it needs to be fluid, right? Nonlinear paths tend to be some of the coolest and best stories, because you learn a lot that way. If you just go step one, step two, up the ladder, and you're not really learning. You need to have things happen. And I talk about this all the time. Everyone wants to be perfect, right? You talked about you ripped up a playbook and started this thing. You don't have to be perfect. You can't be perfect. You can't be great until you fail, because you learn from failure. And on the other side of that is where perfection and growth actually happens. And so for those out there, know that it's okay to test, try, do, and don't have to listen to what everyone tells you that you should do. Because most of the time, when you get that advice, they're not doing anything to the contrary. They're just giving you advice to tell you that you can't do it, when in fact, you can. And so I think that's really cool. It's such a great impact that you're looking to make and what you want to do moving forward. You know, I'm excited as we look at the back half of the year with what my tribe is going to be doing and continuing to grow. So for out there, for those that want to be paying attention and following along, take a look on Instagram at My Tribe Wellness. And also there is a separate Instagram account for Bobo and the Sheik at Bobo and the Sheik. I will make sure to have those tagged in the show notes to take a look. And I know that there's another initiative that we were talking about earlier that's going to be coming out, highlighting some of the practitioners that you have in your network. So for those out there wanting to know what those practitioners look like and who they are and how to connect with them, we're going to be, you know, MyTribe is going to be launching a 5 in 5. So stay tuned for that. What's the 5 in 5 all about, Shashika?
It was just kind of a fun way to get to know the practitioners. And obviously we have the talented Rob as an advisor and now as an interviewer for my tribe. So, you know, it adds a bit of personality and is a fun way to kind of go. We don't really have an hour to get to know every single practitioner, but what are the 5 things we can focus on that really helps you connect and get to know the practitioners in our team? Because they all really want to help and connect with the mm-hmm. clients that are out there. Mm-hmm. And this way kind of connects to help make those matches.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important too, to understand that, you know, my tribe is essentially building a community, right? And there's going to be more tools and things that, but it's a virtual marketplace and community, meaning highlighting the amazing practitioners, not only for you to get to know them and maybe use their services, but their networks are large. And so maybe you're looking for something that they aren't the right fit for, but they know five people that you can talk to. And within the platform, within the community, that this allows for that to happen and that really to grow. Hence the name, My Tribe, right? And the way to demystify. And so how did the name of My Tribe come out?
I think we went through a lot of names first, and we all just kind of thought, well, what is it that we're really trying to convey? And I think it was just me kind of talking, and they're like, okay, well, let's just call it My Tribe then. If that's what you want it to be about your community, a message where people get together and feel supported. That is the ultimate definition of a tribe. And what a better way and better movement to get behind.
I love that. When I was looking at this podcast and naming it, one of the things, there's a bunch of names I was going through with Rise Up, with Bear, because my logo is a bear. And, I kept coming back to, for whatever reason, the bear necessities. And when I said it, I just continued to stick with me. And then obviously you can't say it without thinking of the song. And it's like, well, there's a lot of podcasts and things out there that talk about startups and entrepreneurship and success journeys, how I made my first million, all these things. And it's always like, here's the challenge. And then that one major challenge of the business that you overcome, the one shining moment. And I think we forget a lot about understanding the individual's journey in the entrepreneurship path. And that was kind of like, what are the bare necessities of entrepreneurship? What are the stories of real entrepreneurs doing it today? What does entrepreneurship look like today, but also tomorrow? And that there's multiple ways to be entrepreneurs. In fact, there's a statistic that was out there that in a day that it is more accessible to start a business and be an entrepreneur, entrepreneurship is down like 30%. Now, a lot of that is because people don't want to call themselves entrepreneurs. A lot of them are content creators and doing other things from business perspective, but really they have that entrepreneurial mindset. And so I think it's really cool. Sometimes when you're naming something or just kind of going through, it's like, what is the mission that I want to do? I want to create a tribe of folks to help health and wellness. And so sometimes you just got to go with your instincts, and the name doesn't have to be super fancy. It's just something that conveys impact, conveys what you want it to be. So I love that. All right, Shadika. Well, I loved having you on and talking about your journey and some of the things that you're working on. I like to ask a few questions at the end of every episode. So we're going to get into these. What is a piece of advice that you would give, Gen Z, a millennial, anyone that's really looking to be an entrepreneur, whether that's, young or old right now, what would be a piece of advice you'd give them?
I think people get very focused on activities. Like, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that. And for me, I've always kind of been focused on the goal, and you then focus on that goal. And throughout the day, when you're doing stuff, you think, does it contribute to the goal? It doesn't matter if it's the activity you're checking off. Does it contribute to the goal? Cause I find that people will go through and just do stuff because it's supposed to get done. Mm-hmm. And they completely forget to pivot and go, actually, it doesn't make sense to do that anymore. It's not needed, or maybe we can do it a bit smarter. So I'd say stay goal focused, not task focused on what you do.
Love that. I always like to talk about the process. As you go through the process of these things, if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. Why are you doing something that makes no sense for you just because somebody says you should? What's a resource, a book, a piece of content that listeners should go out and consume right now?
Definitely Bobo and the Sheep. I wouldn't say anything else.
Absolutely. I love it. And so you can find that on Instagram, right? At Bobo and the Sheep. And it'll be down in the show notes. What do you think is your superpower?
Probably that I don't think I have one. So I find that becomes people's biggest Achilles heel when they think that they're super great at something. So I've never really thought I was super great at anything. And so I just keep trying to make every part of everything I do better all the time.
I love that. And I think that comes down to also just letting go of ego and understanding that it's about the journey and to make cool things happen and bring the right people in. And when you do that and leverage a strong network, which you've mentioned before, good things happen. And you don't always have to be, you know, the greatest. I love that. It's a great lesson because so many people out there think they have to be great at one thing. It's okay to experience and do and create and build. So lasting message. What's your lasting message for the listeners?
My lasting message is probably people, you know, it's a complete cliche, but focus on the rocks, not the mountains. You know, people really get so hung up on trying to have these big lofty goals of things, then they don't realize all the steps they take in order to achieve it. And it comes from even celebrating all of your failures because, you know, you don't get to success unless you have a few bumps on the road. So just celebrate every step you're taking and recognize that.
I love that. You know, I think this is why I said with the podcast, like we always look at like getting to the mountaintop and that picture of being at the mountaintop. And we forget that on the way up, you're going to stumble and fall. And if you put one foot in front of the other and move the rocks, eventually the mountain will move with you and you'll be at that mountaintop. But you have to celebrate the wins and the losses. So I love that lasting message. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with Bear Nation a little bit about your journey and your why and the impact you're looking to create. So thank you so much. We appreciate you for being here. Bear Nation, thank you for tuning in. And we appreciate you, Jessica.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. And everyone out there, until next time, stay well. Bear Nation, once again, thank you for listening to the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, take care.